Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsession
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hey, you guys, it's me, Jackie Cation. That's right. First ranger among rangers of the Dork Forest. You're listening to the Dork Forest. The websites, of course, are thedorkforest.com. Just regular dorkforest.com goes right to it. There's familypetancestry.com that goes to jackiecation.com because it made me laugh. Allthingscomedy.com has a Dork Forest page, and that is because that is my podcast umbrella network, and they have a lot of other podcasts on their website. If you're looking for other pods to listen to, a lot of stand-up comics have their podcasts on there. Al Madrigal and Bill Burr, of course, being the most famous. The credits, let's do it. Patrick Brady's going to fix this audio. Mike Rickberg composed and sang the intro song to The Dork Forest. He will sing again his words to the Mexican Hat Dance at the end. And Vilmos fixes JackieCation.com. He will be fixing up the merch page and making everything more expensive. So if it's $25 for a t-shirt with shipping, it's $30. Then that is taken into account that postage has gone up. And yeah, I raised the prices. But it all includes shipping. All the merch, I might as well talk about it. If you go to JackieCation.com on the merch page, the store page, you can get Ranger of the Dork Forest t-shirts, the Dork Forest t-shirts. I'm phasing out the brown ones. It's just going to be green. So, but I have some left in stock and I'm going to bring them on the road. They're all union made, all the t-shirts. They are made in the United States of America by union workers who have dental and healthcare, very glamorous. And so hence, they run big, just so you know, because they're made by union members and Americans. We proudly, I guess, or with some shame, are slightly larger than other people. You can also get all of my CDs. My CDs are available digitally on Amazon or iTunes. You can just also stream them on Pandora or Spotify, but you can buy hard copies on my website. So there's the first one, Circus People. Hard copy includes a QuickTime video from my 2003 Comedy Central special. The It's Never Going to Be Bread, which was top 10 comedy albums of the year in 2010 when it came out on Amazon.com. And my new one, which came out last year, was top 5 comedy specials of the year on Vulture.com, and that is called This Will Make an Excellent Horcrux. This Will Make an Excellent Horcrux is available as a CD, as a DVD, or as a downloadable $10 special on ComedyFilmNerds.com, which I also write movie reviews for. You can get just a download of it. The DVD itself has a DVD bonus, and I can sign anything. I can not sign things. There is a new t-shirt, and it is the Spooky Reading Girl t-shirt, a reference from my act. Okay, other than that, the LA Podcast Festival is coming up, you guys. It's where everybody gathers. And if you're coming to it, go to lapodfest.com and buy tickets and come to the Podcast Festival. It's the weekend of September 19th. If you can't make it, you can live stream all of them for a month. All of the different podcasts are being filmed and then live streamed and then saved for a month. So you can buy them all for $25 if you are not going to be able to make the Podcast Festival and you would like my podcast and everybody else's podcast in the whole world. Mark Maron's podcast is going to be there. Aisha Tyler's podcast is going to be there. Thrilling Adventure Hour is doing one. Paul Gilmartin, who was just on the show. And you can live stream all of it. It's $25 for all of them. You can save $5 if you use my code, which is DORK, D-O-R-K, oddly enough. And then it's $20 for everybody. My podcast is going to be 4 p.m. on Saturday, September 19th. My guest will be Greg Proops. And then I'm also doing Paul Gilmartin's podcast that night where we will open a vein and talk about any sort of mental illness that I might have because he has a thing called Mental Pod, Paul Gilmartin. That's at 10 p.m. All these times are Pacific. Now, when I do the live shows now, I'd make them premium episodes. That's on Bandcamp. So if you go to probably bandcamp.com/thedorkforest, I don't know, there's a link. And there's special their special premium episodes. I think they cost $2 because sometimes the live ones cost money to put up with the audio guy and the travel and the hotel and whatever. Other than that, there's, of course, a donation button on both dorkforest.com and jackiecation.com where you can donate to the show. If you are enjoying the show, feel free to donate. This has been a weird year financially. And so if you like the show, you could donate $10 a month. I haven't made that easy because I don't like regular money coming out of anything. So you just have to remember, oh, I like this show. Here's $10. And I'd love $100 from everybody. That's what I would love. If you have $100 a year, I would love that. And if you have more, God knows, I would love that too. But whatever you like, whatever you can afford, and if you can't afford any of it, that's fine. Don't worry about it. I'm glad you like the show. Talk it up. You can also support the show by buying merch, which we talked about, or using the Amazon banner on jackiecation.com, which is when you order from Amazon. And we all do. I'm almost certain we all do. I know it only works with the U.S. version of Amazon, though. But you click through to the U.S. Version of Amazon. You do your order just like normal. And it supports the show a little bit. And it doesn't cost you anything extra on Amazon. I do stand-up comedy, Jackie Cation does. And there is a tour page on JackieCation.com that tells you where I'll be doing it. It's an exciting time. Feel free to come and see me live. But for the love of everybody and their grandmother, let's get into the dorkdom of the day. Thanks for listening, you guys. Let's do this. Hey, it's Jackie Cation. I'm in my living room in Van Nuys with Dwayne Perkins. You guys, you got to go see Dwayne Perkins. He does stand-up comedy. He does stand-up comedy. He's very, very funny. And you have one of the worst... It's a great podcast, Dwayne Perkins.
Yes.
And yet, the memory, it burns. It burns. First of all, I hate Cameron Diaz. I don't like her.
Right.
I am not a fan. And I had to watch her make love to a windshield.
You know, you were on one of the earlier episodes.
Oh, good. So you've cleaned it up for what people have to watch? Or?
In the beginning, I think there was this notion that bad movies provided more fodder for comedy. And it does, but I think we've hit a groove where now, like, we don't have to...
You don't need it.
God off. But we didn't know that movie was going to be that bad either.
Right, right. Because Cormac McCarthy, right? The counselor.
Yeah.
You'd think that it would be amazing, but he wrote the screenplay. Always trouble.
Always trouble when a guy
who writes a beautiful prose doesn't get someone to help him.
That's a great point, by the way. Yes.
Is it at FunnyDP for Dwayne Perkins,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
Is your Twitter handle and DwaynePerkins.com for all things. I was watching your video reel thing. Hilarious.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, well played.
Yes.
And at MovieCast. At Movie Night Cast is your podcast.
Yeah, yeah. And once we write that, we have very little letters left to actually tweet anything.
Right. Right. And you do it with T.K. Kelly.
T.K. Kelly, yeah.
There you go. Yeah, that guy who got to watch Ant-Man, going to be jealous of him forever.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Well, you know what? We've had, I would say you'd be, I was going to say we'll make you our first return guest.
Oh.
But someone beat you to the punch only because we had a fallout.
Oh, fair enough.
You'll be our first.
How many episodes do you guys have?
We're in the 80s now.
Okay.
Yeah, we're in the 80s. So
because I have people on over and over again.
For our year anniversary, sort of, we had Aisha Tyler. That was our big kind of
thing. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Thing.
That's a good one.
Yeah, yeah. She looked out.
She was an amazing guest on my podcast. I've thought about it. She has four jobs, though. So I try not to.
She is the most. We go way back, Aisha and I. And she's seriously one of the
early
most impressive people. Yeah, definitely. When I moved out here. So.
Okay.
We go back to I think,
late 90s, I think.
Pre 9/11, certainly. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I think I met her in 2003.
Yeah, I met her in probably around that time, maybe even 2000, 2001.
Right.
And,
pre 9/11.
She's just, you know, I try to learn from her. She emails everyone back in a super fast time, given how busy she is, and I'm nowhere near as busy, and I'm playing the busy card.
Oh my God.
Which is like, it's not even a thing. It's
Lori,
you know?
Kilmartin asked me if I'd be willing to do a podcast with her, and I was like, no, I'm too busy. And then I remembered she has a full time job at Conan.
Right.
And an 8-year old.
Right.
And then
right.
She does stand up.
Yeah.
So there's no possible way that I could be as busy as Lori Kilmartin.
And I don't know if, you know, Aisha has the, even, I, you know, I guess she's doing okay. So let's say she has the best blank, best iPhone, best Mac, whatever. Still,
okay.
She might even
have a full-time assistant, but it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. She's so on it.
She's on top of stuff.
Yeah, she's so on it.
I just tweeted at her because I was watching Barney Miller yesterday. And remember Barney Miller?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's I'm going to dork out at you.
Where were you watching that? That's crazy.
We have a Rabbit Ears. and a TiVo.
Oh, I see.
So I was just watching it on Me TV or this TV or whatever is free.
Yeah, I need to get that because Barney Miller, that was...
You got that.
Yeah.
Everyone has that. If you have cable, you have shitty non-cable.
Right, right.
Which is what I have. But I have HD shitty non-cable. And then I've got all the things. I've got the Hulu and the...
So as a... When you have cable, because here's the thing. I have cable, but I've contemplated not having cable. One, because of the price.
Get out.
But
get
two,
out of cable.
I want NBC 1, 2, 3, 4, like some of my friends have that.
Yeah, I get that.
How do I get, do I need to buy a separate antenna to get that?
Yeah,
right?
You got
to
get the HD antenna.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that's $35.
I miss
those
stations.
Here's what you do have to get, which I lucked into because they sponsored the Dork Forest one time, which was TiVo.
Oh, nice.
So I have a DVR from TiVo.
The original.
Yes. And it's Lifetime.
That's amazing.
That's amazing. So yeah. I assume it's Lifetime. So
I want to get out. But here's the thing. I'm already out of cable in a sense because my condo, we struck a deal with Time Warner.
Okay.
And so basically... The deal was you got HBO and Showtime and other cable stations, the basics, whatever. And the HOA fee went up $30. So that's not too bad. That's like, but now for some reason, my internet is $80. Like, what happened?
See what happened. Yeah. Our internet also jumped up because when we stopped, we had Dish TV, I think, AT&T. Then we got rid of it. And then all of a sudden, home phone. We have home phone because I am married to Safety Mouse. Right. And Safety Mouse not realizing that it's now fiber optic and we're screwed anyway.
Right, right, right.
And we have internet and we have home and then they desperately want us back on whatever sort of television program they've got. But we've got Netflix and nephew has our Netflix. What I like to do is whenever I want to talk to him, I change the password.
Nice. And, that's smart. I should do that.
You should. If you ever want to talk to whoever whatever kid you're
sharing with.
My
little brother. And he watches completely different shows.
Oh, I was psyched when young Thomas Pennington made his own channel. Because I'm like, guess what I don't ever want to watch?
Right, right.
Whatever you're watching. It's just a disaster. It's usually comedy.
Oh.
And it makes me want to hurt myself.
But that's the flaw in Netflix. Because Netflix, they think they're doing you a big favor. Like, if you like this, you'll like that.
If you
like this, you'll like that. And I get it. Yes, but you don't know me, Netflix. You don't know me like that, okay? You don't know.
It's like TiVo. TiVo doesn't know me.
Yeah, some things I like that maybe I haven't watched on Netflix, so you don't know.
Right.
But in addition, when something gets 3 or 4 stars, it's getting 3 or 4 stars from people who like that type of movie.
Yes.
So you can be sort of tricked.
Me and my 2 weeks notice obsession could really break the curve on
that.
Right,
right, because
I'm also liking Shaun of the Dead. Right? So if I like both of those, you could all of a sudden get a slew of Kate and Leopolds coming at you.
Right, right.
And you're like, no, I'm good.
Yeah. My brother likes, my younger brother, he likes the kind of movies that DMX would be in, you know?
I don't know who that is.
DMX, he's a rapper, but like the kind of movies he would be in now. You see what I mean? So he was really big in the late 90s.
Is he West Coast?
He's East Coast.
He's East Coast. Interesting, because I've always thought of myself as an East Coast rap fan. What I love, what you've done here, Dwayne Perkins, by the way, is get us to your dorkdom, because for 7 minutes we've been talking about me.
Good. I like talking about you.
Rangers of the Dork Forest have heard a lot. They know.
Yes, yes.
They know about my obsessions. But, because what I know about hip-hop, it could fit on the head of a pin, quite honestly. But quite honestly...
A fiber optic pin.
Right? A fairly small pin. It's I buy like one hip-hop album every 2 years.
It's not bad, though.
It's not bad. Like, I have Lupe Fiasco's first album.
There you go.
I have Common's first album that was big.
Those are good first albums.
Those are fine. Yes. But I also have, like, the first album of the White Stripes. So my musical taste involves the first album, the Decemberists. Are they still working? Sure they are. But I only have their first album.
Good for you.
Yeah. It's, but I don't know a lot about it. And your dorkdom is Jay-Z.
Yes.
Now...
Yes.
Jay-Z, I know his name. I should have a podcast just of famous people that I shouldn't, I know their, like, I know who Taylor Swift, she's a musician.
Right.
But that's
right.
All I got.
That's crazy.
So tell me, I know it. It's because, I'm busy rereading science fiction books.
Right, right, right.
So what, who is Jay-Z? Why should we all be interested? Well, not all
interesting.
Of us, just people who like him.
You know, it's interesting because I came in thinking I would be sort of defending or championing Jay-Z for people who know who he is already.
Oh, okay.
Because there's a sect of people who know who Jay-Z is, and I think they don't appreciate him for the right reasons.
Oh, and they loathe him for the correct reasons?
Right. No, they like him for the wrong reasons.
Oh, they like him for the wrong reasons.
Yes, yes.
What is a wrong reason to like Jay-Z?
A wrong reason to like Jay-Z is that he's a businessman.
Weird.
He's...
But he, too, is a... Like, he started his own label, right?
But I think those are the wrong reasons to like him. Or he's with Beyonce, these are all...
Congratulations, you're dating up.
Yes.
Or whatever. Right. Or she is. Yeah. One of the... Because here's the other thing about Beyonce. Couldn't name a Beyonce song if my life depended on it.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. And before we end this day, I will possibly purchase a Beyonce album.
That's crazy.
And maybe a Taylor... Because they're popular songs.
Yeah.
Hugely popular.
I don't know how you... you could literally just walking around Earth and finding yourself in a Target or Walmart.
Right. If I'm in a Target, I should hear at least a bastardization of one of their songs,
right?
I'm sure I have. And if I heard it, it would probably blow my mind.
Jay-Z, Beyonce, Ring On It, that's her famous...
Oh, that's her. Okay, that's her, I know that song.
If you like it, then you should put a ring on it.
Yeah.
Which is... just what I just did.
Yeah.
I lost street cred. Even singing that little bit.
Well, that's fine. Let me tell you about the street that I'm on. There's not a lot of cred.
I was going to say street name, but I better not. But yeah.
Well, it's Van Nuys. They could find me. Sadly in the book. Me, Henny Youngman, and Malcolm X.
Right.
Henny Youngman always in the book because he said that, what if someone wants to book me? What if there's work? And you're like, Henny Youngman, don't you have people?
That's crazy.
It is crazy. And Malcolm X always said that he was in the book because his enemies didn't have a problem finding him. It was his friends who had a problem finding him.
Interesting. That makes perfect sense.
Right. He was like, well, if everyone's going to find me, I'd like the people who like me to find me as well.
And maybe just on the day that an enemy comes, a friend is there.
Right. To take the bullet. And maybe that happened several times prior to the sad, horrible thing that happened.
Yeah, I think so.
Bring it down, Jackie.
Yes.
Bring it right down. Okay.
Well,
so Jay-Z. So when did it all begin? Was it late 90s? Was it late 80s?
For Jay-Z, in the current... incarnation of Jay-Z, I guess we should say, is 1996.
Okay.
And, but it's weird because I knew of him.
Okay.
From 1989.
Ah.
So.
What was he in
1989, he was a DJ for another rapper named Jazz-O.
Jazz-O.
Everything was kind of.
Where
a lot
was
of J's
that?
Back then.
Sure.
Jazz-O was from Brooklyn.
New York
Yeah. And I didn't know, I guess, I didn't realize they were from the Marcy projects. In Brooklyn, you can shout out your neighborhood.
Okay.
You can shout out your block. Or you can shout out your projects. And because some of these projects, these city dwellings are so big that they are unto themselves a neighborhood.
Right. Because there's 1,000 people living there.
Yeah,
1,200 people.
Right. Like Marcy, because actually to prepare, I've been reading Jay-Z's book, which I've had. And here's the thing. I've had this book for 4 years, right?
Sure.
But
did you buy it to be supportive?
Yeah, and I think I bought it for someone, and maybe someone bought it for me.
Oh, awesome!
But the thing is, I didn't read it. I haven't read it yet because I was told it was a fluff piece. Is what I was told.
Autobiographical fluff piece to some extent.
Right.
Okay,
yes,
it was sort of a nice pub for Jay-Z on himself, kind of.
Right, he's leaving out
decoded.
He's decoding rap lyrics in it. So I was led to believe that the reason why I felt this book would be in the category of the wrong reasons to like Jay-Z.
Mm-hmm.
But as I read it now,
yes,
it's like in comedy. Oh, this guy's funny. That guy's not funny.
Yeah.
And you kind of just sort of take someone else's word for it.
Yeah.
And then you see them and you're like, oh, wait, no, this guy is funny. This guy's not funny. So it's one of these things where I'm reading a book and I'm like, wow, he's a really good writer.
Right.
Maybe someone's ghostwriting it. But at the same time, why would the most prolific rapper ever?
Turns out he's probably a wordsmith.
Right.
Probably.
Yeah, exactly.
Knows how to put some words
together. I'm reading it thinking, this is better than my blog.
Oh, there you go. right. And you too. We are wordsmiths
as
well.
Yes.
So hilariously, so that's him. Is that him decoding his own lyrics
his
or
own
other
lyrics? Yes, his own
okay.
lyrics.
Okay. Have you ever read Stuart Lee's book? See on the third shelf down,
see it
that
right
green.
There, yeah. Like I saw it instantly. It's weird how my eyes went right to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that he, what he does is he has 2 hours of his stand up that he transcribes and then annotates where those jokes came from, where those jokes,
that's really
what
cool.
they mean. It is one of the most arrogant and hilarious
right.
things I've ever seen in my life.
Right.
And
right.
it's a great book.
Nice.
It's like, I wish I had the, I don't know, the balls to do it. Cause it
that's
is
really cool.
It was fast. It was a learning experience reading that damn book.
Well, that's, I mean, I think podcasts are kind of going there where it's, we're turning it onto ourselves and becoming
it a little, is a little
self-reflective. So eventually,
yeah.
you know,
so in 89, he was in Brooklyn.
Yes, and he was a DJ for another rapper named Jazzo.
Okay.
And he has a line, Jay-Z has a line, where he talks, he says, like I think he says, who would have known right under my nose was the flow of all flows, right? Because when you rap, that means you flow, right?
Yeah, I literally.
And, yeah, like,
yeah.
Like, who would have known that the flow of all flows was within me? Like,
right.
The best rapper ever was just me. I was walking around.
How could you ever realize? I got goosebumps, quite honestly.
Yeah.
Because in 89 is funny because that was the first year I bought a rap album.
Is that right?
I bought KRS-One.
Wow. Now, there you go. This
right.
is going full circle. He was my favorite rapper.
Okay.
Until Jay-Z's first album, probably.
Now,
his second album.
But KRS-One was political. You
yes,
know?
Right,
and,
right.
And except for Jimmy Hat, which was literally the gateway drug to get me into hip hop, was
right,
Jimmy Hat.
Right. Just, but yeah, but you know, that's a public
but
service announcement.
It is
right?
a public
wear
service.
Condoms.
Yes, please wear a condom.
Yes,
and but I so Jay-Z was in that. Was he in that group too?
Well,
or?
He was at the time.
But
he
he's
was
dance guy. Kinda.
He was a young head. So he's
okay.
Here's the thing: Jay-Z's in a video called Hawaiian Sophie. That's when I first saw him.
Okay.
And that's Jazzo's song. And it's just a campy song.
Yeah.
About meeting this, a rapper goes to Hawaii, meets a woman named Sophie.
Oh.
And he courts her, but she has a big, big boyfriend.
Oh, okay. It's one of the great stories of song.
Yeah. Like
of
a
song
big,
and story.
Yeah. A big Hawaiian dude who's, now that I think about the video, it was just a black guy.
Oh, really? They're like, we can't find a Hawaiian dude.
Right.
We're just get some sort of lightish, but kind of
exactly.
pudgy
and then
black
they put
guy.
Him in a,
oh, like a, in a sumo
a
thing?
Straw kind of skirt, something Hawaiian looking.
Something racially sensitive.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Excellent. Well played.
And Jay-Z's there, and he's got this big gold chain.
Yeah.
And like, basically, his job in the song is just to say, like, yeah, Jazz, that's right. You know, like.
Which, you know what, is very nice of Jazz.
Yeah.
To put him in.
But like the best rapper ever is in this video. Just the DJ, just supporting what's happening.
Right.
You know, hey, you want to be
the. But it's 89,
it's
right?
It's 89.
What is he, 25 in 89?
No,
or
he's probably 19 or 20.
Okay. So
19
even,
or 20, yeah.
even younger.
And but here's the thing. He went to Westinghouse High School in Brooklyn, New York.
This happens.
Okay, no worries.
He went to, well, hold that thought or tell it while I hang up on these people.
Right, right. And as I'm talking, I can't believe how prepared I am without even knowing it. So he went to Westinghouse High School in Brooklyn, New York, downtown Brooklyn, near downtown Brooklyn. So did, this is crazy how this kind of thing works. So did Notorious B.I.G.
Oh, really?
And so did Busta Rhymes.
Oh my God.
And they were all in high school at the same time. Maybe not the same year, but they
were
within a 4-year period, they were all at the same high school.
Well, and I suppose it kind of makes sense just because of how big it was at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And the scene and everything but everybody would want to do it.
But three of the best rappers to be in one high school? That's
right.
Crazy.
I don't have any Notorious B.I.G., by the way. I have none of his albums.
Oh, he's considered the best, and Jay-Z is right there.
Okay.
So here's the thing. Well, one of the best. One of the best.
Okay. Is it now when you say the best, because I think of, especially then, hip hop had a different, like Big Daddy Kane
right.
was more party guy.
And he there's a connection between him and Jay-Z too, actually.
Oh, well, of course. Because he's what, East Coast too?
Brooklyn, yes.
Okay.
Brooklyn, yeah. And so a few things. So he's in Westinghouse High School.
Yep.
Now, as an aside.
Yes.
As an aside. He talks about, he has a flow, Jay-Z has a flow where he goes, he says, Carolina something 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 Carolina Kicks. Like Carolina Kicks would be the shoes that Michael Jordan wore. So that means they're like white and powder blue.
Okay.
Sneakers.
Oh, because that's their colors.
Carolina, yeah. Carolina Kicks. Then he says high school crossover waved away picks. So in basketball, when you dribble and you suddenly change directions from one direction to another, that's called a crossover.
Okay.
And it's usually like the ball is in this hand and the defender doesn't know what you're going to do and you just
go the
quickly,
other
and then you leave him, right?
And that's crossover.
That's called a crossover.
Okay.
And a pick is when you're dribbling the ball and someone is, or not dribbling as it were, but
the guy who stands in front.
Yeah.
That you work
so someone,
around,
someone's guarding you and then someone from your team runs into his blind spot.
Yeah.
And you run him into that guy.
Right, you get to end around that guy.
Yes, so that's a pick,
that's
right?
That's a pick, okay.
And so, very bravado. And that's why I love Jay-Z for many levels. He's the best bragger.
Okay.
And I'm a pretty good bragger, but he brags and it rhymes. You know, it's just amazing.
Right. It's well-crafted bragging.
So he says high school crossed over waved away picks, and that means someone would try to set a pick for him, and he would say, no, I don't need assistance.
At this time.
I can lose this guy by myself.
Oh,
with a crossover.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever I hit that line, I remember when I was in high school, which I think I could have been in high school with Jay-Z timeline-wise.
Like, are you from New York as well?
I'm from Brooklyn, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And so I could have been maybe a freshman when he was a senior or something.
Okay.
I think we could have been
of an age
in high school at the same time. But I went to a new high school at the time called the High School of Telecommunications, Arts and Technology. And I played basketball, JV.
Okay.
And varsity, but our JV team, we were called the Lasers.
Okay.
That they've changed it since, which I think was a strong move.
to the like, laser pointers.
Yeah, right. It's just hard going to, especially in like in the 80s, you go into other places in Brooklyn and you are called the Lasers. It's just it's not a good look.
Right, and you're like, no, it's the future, you guys. Right. You guys don't get it. We're future. No, fine, you're Tigers. And
so I hear Jay-Z say this crossover line, and I'm thinking, because we played Westinghouse once or twice. They weren't in our like division or whatever, but we scrimmaged with them. And now I'm thinking, maybe I met this guy.
Oh,
maybe
right.
He crossed me over.
Right, right. How crazy would that be? That would have been crazy if you would actually – how weird would it be to have met people – because, I mean, you can.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's 7 billion people on the planet, but it's weird how you do end up meeting almost everybody.
Right, right. And so I don't know what made me originally say that, but I just think that, so he's in high school and he's selling drugs.
Jason. Okay, that's his job.
That's his thing.
That's his high school job.
Yeah, and
I was washing dishes. He was
and where he's from. And that's the only – my only complaint is – well, I commend him for selling them and stopping that and then making good out of the whole thing. But apparently he's this great rapper who a lot of people in the know he's great.
Oh, at this time.
Yeah, even in 89, right?
So even in 89 when he's a boy.
Yeah, he's on a mixtape with Big Daddy Kane.
Oh my God.
Who's the biggest rapper in New York at least at that time.
Yeah, yeah.
And he knows who Jay-Z is. And Jay-Z even said, Big Daddy Kane took me on a road with him. But it's one of these things where Jay-Z is selling drugs, so they're not taking him that seriously, you know?
Right, right. They can't. And
so from a rap standpoint, he doesn't get put on till 1996, meaning really he's in a song here, a song there.
Right. He spent 7 years kind of screwing around.
Yeah. So now he's like 25, 26 when his career takes off, which is – In a sense, it's almost the 11th hour for a rapper, at least.
Because
so many rappers are discovered when they're like 18, 19, 20. You know? And so
it was very much a young man's game.
Yeah. And so he's still young enough to be called young, but almost not young anymore. And I think even as a stand-up, you can always relate to that because so many younger people in stand-up get certain opportunities.
Right, right.
They're not as funny, but they're young, and maybe they're as funny, you know.
Right, and maybe they will be as funny, but right now, you know.
Yeah, and here's a guy who was good enough when he was young and then had this crazy life of selling drugs.
Right, just didn't focus or just couldn't. Right,
but that gave him material.
Right.
And so then when he comes back and refocuses in 96, he's undoubtedly the best. And what's crazy is that so many people say he's the best who don't even like him.
Ah.
And like other rappers begrudgingly say he's the best.
Like, what's his first big hit?
Okay.
That I might know.
Oh,
how about that?
Well, I'll say his first big hit that you won't know.
Okay.
Or maybe you might know it. It's called Ain't No Nigga.
Okay.
And he's rapping to Foxy Brown, who's one of his proteges.
Okay.
And it's like, it opens up like, I keep you fresher than the next chick.
Okay.
No need for you to ever sweat the next chick.
Okay.
I make the next chick see the exit.
Ah.
You got to know you're thoroughly respected.
Right.
By me. And then
But
the whole thing is so, because he has a line where he says, he says, that's why you have to watch me. You have to watch your friends. They're conniving. The first chance to crack the bank, they'll try.
Okay.
But all they get is 50 cent francs and papayas. Mm. That's a New York line.
Yeah, yeah.
Because in New York,
50 cent hot dogs.
Yeah, like, you know, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Literally up until like 10 years ago, you could get 50 cent hot dogs.
Right. They were not good.
They were not good. But they were 50 cents.
They were. And there was always a cart with a papaya sign on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then like, I think at that time, you know, you're dealing with a guy who's elevated because apparently the girl is complaining about him cheating on his song.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, I buy you things. So
just kind of brush it off. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And he says, I've been sinning, mm-hmm. you know, sinning since you've been playing with Barbie and Kenan. Can't change a player's game in the ninth inning.
Right. You want to, don't start dating Jay-Z thinking he's going to just buy like a white picket fence and settle down.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
And if it happened for Beyonce, it's more of a matter, more of a sign of how his age and where he's at.
Right. Like, I mean, it takes 30 years for a guy that sort of hound doggy. I don't know what to call him, but to just go, oh, you know what? I would kind of like, you know, to kind of just sit around a little bit. And have a wife and does he have kids?
They have one.
They have one?
Yeah, okay. Blue Ivy.
Oh, that's right.
I think it's sort of a play on one of his albums.
Andy always wanted to, if we were to have kids, he wanted to name it Waffle.
Nice.
It. And whatever
boy
it was.
Boy or girl.
Boy or girl. Waffle.
That's great.
We've named our internet. That's what our internet access is.
Why is it?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I always thought David was a very nice name.
Yeah, yeah.
My grandfather's name. I was like, you don't like David? He was like, too boring. And I was like, and yet Waffle.
Yeah.
Waffle is drawn somehow.
Well, Blue Ivy also is like, it's almost like it's the blueprint for, which I don't know if he's saying that, like, this is my fourth album, my daughter.
Look what I have created, my daughter. And Beyonce's like, I was involved. There's no uterine replicators.
I was
the host body.
Exactly.
Excellent. So, okay, so that was in 96, that song?
So, yeah, Reasonable Doubt comes out in 96, and it's called...
That's the album?
Yeah, Reasonable Doubt, because, like, OJ had just got off.
Oh, okay.
So I think he's playing on that a
little
bit.
That was 96, because I moved here in 97, I think.
Yeah.
And I was standing at Largo next to Margaret Cho, and someone was doing an OJ joke, and I said, do you think he's guilty? And Margaret goes, yeah. What are you, nuts? And I was like, well, I haven't been paying attention for you.
Right.
And because it doesn't have, in my opinion, it really doesn't have anything to do with me.
You know what's interesting about that is I also did not pay attention, but on purpose. Because I had a job at that time, and I was living in Boston at that time.
Okay.
I moved up to Boston. And, you know, there were enough black people there, but I was one of the few. And so...
Fantastic.
People kind of wanted to come talk OJ with me.
Ah.
And I didn't, at that time, my allegiances were like, I was like, well, he might be guilty, and I don't condone what he did.
No.
But he's still black. And I don't want to. I don't want to talk
that?
About it.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't want to. I would prefer just to be quietly sad if he is guilty because he is a hero, and it's sort of the Bill Cosby thing.
It's sort of that, exactly.
And it's so weird because allow me as a middle-aged white lady to weigh in on this, because my mind was fucking blown by the sheer number of videos that have come out about police brutality with the way just the people being pulled over and stuff and just the insanity, right? And I was like, because I have always been empathetic and sort of what I thought aware, but not aware.
Right.
The sheer fucking numbers of it, I was like, I would speak of nothing else if it were happening in my world.
Right.
But you can't Because then you would have nothing else. You would just spend all of your time talking about it. It doesn't make any sense.
I know a guy on Facebook who does that. It's crazy.
It's exhausting?
Yeah, it's exhausting. Exactly.
And you're like, no, I completely understand. And yet, yes. I'm exhausted.
Oh, completely. And he's always in my timeline. Good guy.
Good guy. Yeah,
good guy.
Perfectly. And the other thing that blew my mind is that sort of the black community thing where you have to like people just because they're black. You have to sort of support. And you're like, actually, you're not that great of a person.
I've dated, people who are not black sometimes. This one girl, she's Thai, and I told her, I said, you know, black people, we have to say hi to each other. You know,
which I've heard the premise 1,000 times and never believed it until recently. I'm like, you kind of have to.
Yeah, and some of us break that, but you're supposed to say hi. And then she told her mom, I guess her and her mom, they were at a red light.
Okay.
In a car. And she says, Dwayne told me black people always have to say hi to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, really? And then, as if sent by God, two black guys were walking in opposite directions in front of them. and they gave each other the nod. And they were like, oh my God, that just happened. They don't even know each other.
Right. You're like, I got your back if it gets ugly. I think it's an acknowledgement of.
I think so. Except, here's the thing. And this is
off topic.
Yeah, yeah. I live in Highland Park, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, which is near South Pass. And mm-hmm. I really love South Pass. I'm basically South Pass adjacent.
Right, right.
And they're both okay neighborhoods, but Highland Park is up and coming. South Pass is like
old money, man.
You need some money to be there. Yeah. And but there's a contingent of black people in South Pass, right? Mm-hmm. Like not like tons, but enough. And where I like it. I like, you know, it's like
a nice mix of humanity.
But when they see me not knowing me off the top,
yeah.
There's like a nod.
Mm-hmm.
It's hello, mm-hmm. and it's a warning, all in one.
Right, they're like keep it together.
Yeah, the other black people are like, hey, don't. Do we curse on this thing?
Yeah, fucking yeah. A.
They're knock like, don't fuck up our shit. Like, it's sort of like,
right.
Hey, we got a good thing here.
Yeah.
And
fuck.
And I always look back at them like,
mm-hmm.
no, I'm not. Yeah, I'm not gonna.
Wait, no, yeah, let's all. I opened once, I did stand up before Anita Baker one time.
Get out. That's crazy.
It was amazing. Yeah. But it was like, I was looking at, you know, an entire audience of people who could buy and sell me, right?
It was like
I had stepped into the shooting of White Man's Burden, right?
That's so funny. People don't know that movie. We should do that movie.
That's a great movie.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a one note movie to some extent,
right.
But that note, it's a hell of an arc.
Yes.
And it's a hell of a movie. And everybody works. It's the greatest movie for everybody working who's wanted to work and needs work.
Right.
So, get out there, guys. White Man's Burden. Anyway, but it was really cool because I was genuinely, you know, I'm always learning, Dwayne Perkins.
Yes,
I'm always
yes.
learning. It's a beautiful yes. thing. Thank God.
And you know, it's crazy. I did a show similar.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow I got booked in comedy. People who don't understand it. They're people who never call you. And that's fine.
Right.
But they're like bookers who never call you.
Mm-hmm.
They, and that's maybe you're not their cup of tea or you don't fit their demographic. And that's fine. But then
nothing
these
to
bookers
do.
Will call you out of the blue. And it's usually not to do the thing that they're known for. It's usually some random other thing.
That they don't know how to fulfill it.
And somehow you got either mm-hmm. that you were requested or you came up. Because this guy, Stu Goffman, shout out to Stu.
Oh, I know him.
Yeah, and Stu is great. And I don't know if, but I guess he was working with, I forget the name of the company, but they've never called me. And then they called me with a gig in Reno.
Oh, weird.
At a house party. It's a doctor's birthday and his wife is having a party for him and wants comedy. And they rented
out a
big...
First of all, they've made an error. Anyway.
Yeah, they've rented out a big lake house.
Yep.
And just comedy in the living room.
Comedy in the living room.
But they're paying, you know, more
good
than
money.
Some clubs pay.
That's it.
And they're all black.
Mm-hmm.
It's just all these black doctors.
Right.
And I'm like, and that's another, and then, you know, to come back to Jay-Z. Like,
yeah, yeah. Please do.
Jay-Z, when he raps, I picture where I grew up. And like, it's so weird that Jay-Z gets credit. And hey, I didn't tell the story. So he should get the credit.
Yeah.
But I certainly lived some of the story.
Right.
Minus the selling drugs. Like I've seen people do crack.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in an elevator with people doing crack. I've been very lucky to. I've never seen anyone be shot.
Yeah.
Get shot. But I had very good shootout karma when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like I always left before the shootout, or always came after the shootout. I was very lucky in that.
That
sense.
Is very lucky. Holy yeah. shit! Because that sounds like you were super close to it. Could have happened.
Oh yeah. I mean, I've heard shots, but I've never been in a shootout. And I've had a knife drawn on me.
Yeah.
But the guys were punks, so I didn't give them what they wanted. I lost that ability, but I used to be able to tell who was real and who was not. And so even with a knife on me, I was like, nah.
Not you guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Steak knife? What are you doing? Play a mumbly peg?
And so I'm with these doctors, and it's almost like, in a sense, that's almost like the changing of the guard for me, because it's sort of like, like that side of things, I've always been grouped with that side of things, like meaning people think I'm a Cosby kid in essence. Or,
oh, the expectations?
Well, people just think I'm from some like a middle class home.
Right.
And I'm not. So I used to not even be comfortable around middle class blacks.
Right.
Which is crazy. I would like be comfortable around whites who are middle class.
Right.
Or even lower class whites, but never, it took me a while to, I don't know why that would be the case, but something about middle class or upper middle class black people, it just, it didn't, you know, even though
weird.
People thought I was one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I have always thought so.
Right.
I have actually never thought of where you're at.
I'm from Brooklyn and the projects in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
That's where I grew up. I mean, I suppose I'm not of that and never was, because my grandmother was
pretty strict and
pretty loving and just sort of like, you know, had me carry myself a certain way. But so, yeah, I never lost my humanity. I never sold drugs.
Yeah.
But I was offered the chance to sell drugs.
Sure.
Jay-Z took it.
And he took the offer.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like.
And he, but the thing
but
is.
But he's one in a million, you know, he's really
right,
one in a
gotten,
million.
And to have gotten out of it too.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
What was his, did he have a grandmother? Did he have, what was.
You know
what
he says? And here's the thing. I give him credit because in many of his rhymes, he talks about. See, he's the first rapper to talk about selling drugs and the mental, just the mental and the mental strain and the physical strain it takes.
Oh, the cost of it?
Yeah, he's the first one to do that in a real way.
Right, and not brag about it.
Right, he was bragging, but also sharing with you. Like he says, whoever says it illegal is the way the easy way out couldn't understand the mechanics and the dealings of the underworld. Granted, 9 to 5 is how you survive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to survive. I'm trying to live it to the limit and love it a lot. So,
in
those two lines, he's saying, it's harder than you think to sell drugs.
Yeah.
But I know that I have a choice, but I still have, you know,
right, I have
delusions
aspirations.
Of grandeur. And
yeah.
So I'm going to, yeah, yeah.
Right. I don't want to, I mean, there was some hip hop song. I think it was, might have been KRS-One, but it was, no, I don't know who it was, but it was about a story about a guy who managed a McDonald's and he did everything right. And then someone robbed the McDonald's and killed him.
Yeah.
And he's like, why would I want to live like that guy?
And you know? And that's the thing, like, even though I'm a huge Jay-Z fan, well, I've always sort of parted ways with him is like, you don't have to sell drugs. But Jay-Z, of all the rappers, at least admitted that.
Right.
That it,
yeah, and
it's
he said
still a choice.
He said it. He said it was a choice.
It's a choice. But he said he's on a train. And this, I know this feeling. Back when the trains were, see, New York City's, it's a lot different now than it was.
Than the Warriors.
Yeah, yeah. I love that movie. We did that movie. We did that movie too.
No reason not to.
Yeah. And so he talks about being on the train and some guys giving him the evil eye. And like, I think they either beat him up or they tried to rob him. And then he thought, literally, that's the day he decided to sell drugs, because he's like, well, if my life is in danger anyway,
right?
Which
I might as well make $1,000.
And I never thought about it like that. Like, if I had thought about it like that, maybe I would have, you know, cashed in on the opportunity. Because I remember two of my friends decided to start selling drugs. We were all working at Toys R Us at the time.
Oh.
And I didn't partake.
Right.
I had the opposite philosophy. It was like, well, why would I sell drugs and I'm still in the same neighborhood?
Right. If I
just get better sneakers, like, what is that?
Why is, that's not enough.
Yes.
It's not enough money
right.
to get me out of this situation. And it's such a frickin' spiral, quite honestly.
Yeah.
I came from a fair amount of poverty myself. We lived in the projects, but the projects in South Milwaukee, Wisconsin,
right.
it's a white trash moment.
Oh, I see,
you're not
going
to be able to out white trash me
right,
in America. You probably could actually now, but it was My brother sold drugs. One of my favorite stories, my brother Phil, when he was about 17, he almost joined the army because he wanted to get sent to Vietnam because he had met a guy who had the best hash and heroin connections that he met in the army. And he
said, crazy.
I could come back to South Milwaukee and be like a drug dealer of repute.
So he thought he would just go to get a connect in Vietnam.
Yeah. In Vietnam and that's Thailand crazy. And even Germany, you can really get some good, good connections in Germany. And you're like, and then what happened? He said, well, I punched a cop and they wouldn't take me. And
man.
I was like, you would have been the worst soldier in the world.
Right.
Good. And
that's crazy. But on one hand, you're like, man, this guy's got vision.
Right. Well, that's the thing. I mean, I think when you're 15 and you're like, yes, I'm going to sell drugs. You're like, I want money. Right.
Right.
Well, what I did was I sold student council candy bars for twice the amount that they were. I marked everything up and skimmed off the top.
Nice.
I made hundreds of dollars and I spent it all on video games.
Right.
It was quite a waste of no doubt. But you know what? I got really good at Zaxxon, you guys. Anyway, but it's a choice, but it doesn't get you out of where you live.
So my the only thing is I look at Jay-Z and I'm like, man, he's courageous in a sense. Like in a way not. Like in a way he's weak because he wants status and wants it now.
Because of his ego. Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas like I don't know. I can't judge. I think he's awesome, and I don't judge him because I grew up sort of with I thought about it on my way here. I kind of had a promissory note growing up, you know, like I just always had this belief that I was going to be fine.
Yeah.
So I didn't have to do anything like that. Like I just had to live.
Yeah.
If I knew if I could live until 18, 19, 20, 21, I'd be okay.
Yeah.
And so basically, I decided like to really avoid having fights after like age 15.
Yeah.
Because before that you could fight.
Yeah.
After that
it was kids.
It could go to a different place. So.
Right. There's a certain amount of mistakes that you're not allowed to make.
Right. Especially like where you're from, where I'm from, our margin of error is way smaller.
Right. I mean, and it's because the expectations of the police, for example.
Yeah.
Even just mouthing off can escalate into something horrible.
Yes.
So having to be a 15 or 16 year old who can control their emotions is what a pain in the ass.
Right.
I mean, if you think about it, right?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
You're like, well, what if I wanted to be depressed? What if I wanted to be sullen?
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm sorry. You're not allowed to be sullen.
Oh, yeah.
And,
Jay-Z has a great line in a song about going to war with a former friend who we grew up with. And now they're both selling drugs and maybe they're fighting for the same turf. You know,
yeah.
It's a story, but it happens time and time again.
Right.
And he says, well, two lines that are great. We used to fight for building blocks. Now we fight for blocks that make a build. Now we fight for blocks with buildings that make a killing.
Right.
And that's great.
That's great.
And he also says, thinking back to when we first learned to use rubbers.
Yeah.
He never learned. So in turn, I'm kidnapping his baby's mother.
Oh,
ooh, yeah.
Dude. Oh, my God.
Right.
Man, it makes me want to listen to him just because the poetry of it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the storytelling and it's clearly he's not. So he's still prolific. I still hear about
him,
right?
He learned how to make hit records and so kind of changed. But
okay.
Like his first album is like it's a hit in spite of itself because
he didn't know what he was doing.
Formulas of a hit record. But the poetry was so it hit people on such a level that they were like, this is great.
Yeah.
But it got lost in the era of like that first album got lost in the Snoop, Tupac, Biggie kind of thing.
Right.
But it still stands alone as a classic.
Right. And do you think like I never listened to Biggie or Tupac.
Mm-hmm.
And their message was how was it different from his?
Because a few things. Tupac is more of a revolutionary.
Okay.
On a good day.
On a good day.
And
sure.
On a bad day he's just a womanizer, right?
Okay.
Which that's every man, I guess. Right?
And Biggie, who doesn't want to get laid?
Biggie's more of a. He would be like if Biggie would be lower on the drug chain of command than Jay-Z.
Okay.
He might be better lyrically. No, I don't think he's better lyrically. He might have a better flow.
Okay.
But you picture Biggie selling drugs on the corner.
Right.
You picture Jay selling weight. You picture, I mean, weight meaning like. selling drugs to drug dealers.
Oh, right, right. He's a level up.
Yeah.
He's running a crew who's selling the drugs.
Right, right, right.
Biggie's actually just on the street, working
right,
the street.
Right,
okay.
Right.
He's also very social.
So Biggie's more of a soldier and Jay's more of a
commander.
He
guy.
Strategizes and things there, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it was, so does he do like club tunes too?
Yeah, yeah. No, like that's the thing. That album, he even talks about that album when he says on volume 3, I think he says, is it volume 2? Volume 2. Yeah, he says, I gave you prophecy on my first joint.
Mm-hmm.
That means first album.
Yeah, yeah.
I gave you prophecy on my first joint, but you all lamed out.
Okay.
Didn't really appreciate it until the second one came out. So I stretched the game out, etched your name out, put Jigga on top, and dropped albums nonstop for you, nigga.
Yeah.
So it's like I did the artistic album.
Yeah.
It did well, but it kind of didn't commercially.
And he's like, fine, here.
So, yeah.
Here's some candy and soda pop.
Yeah. And he also says, I dumbed down for my audience, doubled my dollars. They criticized me for it, but they all yell holla, which is like one of his things.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He always says holla. So he's like acknowledging, yeah, this is what I did. But it goes back to him being a hustler because he, it's the marriage of being a poet and a hustler.
Right. Cause he, you gotta, to some extent, you gotta fill the room. It's like comedy. You gotta fill the room and you gotta make the guy who has folded his arms and has a six pack at home and is wondering why he's there. You gotta make him laugh too.
Right.
And so, he's like, fine, here we go, dick jokes.
Yeah, but for Jay-Z to do that without the purists being so pissed off that they don't like him anymore. Like,
right.
So the purists, the rap purists, like other, I'm on YouTube a lot and watching other rappers, and none of
them.
Does
he get slammed?
No.
Okay.
And, you know, part of that is maybe he's so massive now they don't want to piss him off. But I also think it's because they know, especially like I'm not a rapper, but I've rapped, and being a New Yorker, you kind of like, you really, the lyrics are very important to us. And so they all know that they can't, there's no fronting on who he
is. You want to go to him, he will take you down. So, yeah. I mean, there's no reason, you could make fun of him for like this peripheral stuff.
Right.
But you know that if it came head to head, he would probably shut you down.
Right.
Is that it?
Yeah, I think so. I think like there are a few rappers in his class.
Yeah.
You know, that you could arguably in his class.
You know,
Nas and
Tyler, you know, Zach Quiley. Sherman?
Yeah, I know Zach. I know Sherman. Zach. Yeah, yeah, Zach Sherman.
He came on, he talked about Eminem.
Oh, nice. And Eminem would be in Jay-Z's class.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, just the language usage and the insanity of it. But
Jay-Z's so, he's the beginning of a lot of that. Like, there's certain types certain types of wordplay and certain types of, like, Jay-Z was the pinnacle of bragging, but with specificity, like not like saying name brands you never heard, and just being so way you painted that picture.
And it was like so obscure, kind of. He's like, you don't get it.
Right.
This is where I'm sitting.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, and now it's just people shouting about champagne.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you're like, no, I understand you enjoy champagne.
Yeah.
Well, fantastic.
What, he has that one line.
Who?
Jay-Z has a line. I forget sometimes I forget the leading line, but he's him and Biggie are on a song, which is a great song.
Yeah.
And it's Brooklyn's Finest.
Okay.
And they were boys. And he says, I wish I could, I know the line, but I can't think of the line before. If the song was on, I could say it.
Right.
But he says, nigga, please, like short sleeves, I bare arm.
Okay.
So.
What? I don't,
right.
I'm not gonna.
So, nigga, please.
Yeah, I got that.
Like short sleeves, I bare arms. I have a gun.
Oh, I get it.
Right, right.
See, and it's, you know, in context, I might have gotten that, but I don't have anything to prove for not getting it. So,
but like Jay-Z has a song where he makes fun of the Fonz. Just the level where, like, you know, you grew up, the Fonz was the Fonz, and everyone loved the Fonz.
Who doesn't love the Fonz?
But he says, that high class leather, that butter soft leather, then that bullshit on the Fonz. Like, so basically, he made the Fonz is, like, he's saying, my leather, what I wear is nice and soft. That Fonz jacket is ridiculous. And I never thought about that.
But it is. Yeah, because that was a very shitty black leather jacket. That was not a fine leather jacket, but probably would have helped if he would have gotten a motorcycle accident. But
yes.
I was just listening to a Sarah Vowell, and she was talking about the Pilgrim episode of Happy Days.
Oh, is that
where
right?
The Fonz, somebody got stuck in a bear trap, and the Fonz did that thing where he blows on his fist and hits the jukebox, but he did it on the bear trap, and
are
it released.
Serious?
The bear. Yeah, I got to find the clip now.
Why isn't that called Jumping a Shark? That's pretty.
Oh, I think it was Post Shark.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I bet you that had to be. I mean, literally, it's when he's, for no reason, is just hitting a bear trap.
When a bear trap pretty much sever your leg.
Yeah, you're done. As a person in a bear trap, yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's supposed to keep a bear.
Right.
So.
You could probably step out of that thing, actually, because
yeah,
your leg would be
tiny compared to that of a bear paw.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was Potsy got stuck in the
bear. Potsy!
Remember Potsy? Ah, yeah. So, anyway, so what's he done for us lately? Now, he started the label.
Started the label, Rockefeller Records, yes.
Rockefeller Records, and awesome.
Well, he
nobody has been able to recreate themselves more than the Rockefeller family, except
right.
for the Carnegies.
Yes.
And so.
Well, he didn't discover Kanye, but he's sort of like.
Okay.
Mentor to Kanye West, right?
Okay, so he signed Kanye West?
Yes, yes.
And brought him
as
up?
First as a producer, then as a rapper.
You'll be happy to know, and I mean that sarcastically, that I get them mixed up. Because I don't know anything
right?
about
That's
Kanye
great.
West.
That's great.
I just
great.
Know that he's very, very full of braggadocio.
Kanye West is a really good rapper.
Yeah.
But more of a producer, but a really good rapper too. Like,
yeah.
Like, he's some people's favorite rapper, but like, I wouldn't put him in that Jay-Z class.
Right. Jay-Z seems like sort of a trailblazer and like the guy who creates a whole genre and
right.
builds
Kanye's,
something from something.
He's hungrier now than Jay-Z, so he might be nipping
and
at his coattails.
Is Kanye like 10 years younger than him?
Probably.
Yeah. Okay.
Probably 10
years
younger. And
so he's still playing. He's still out there just womanizing and
Kanye
yeah.
or... Well, I mean, he's got the Kim Kardashian.
Right, which is just a nightmare. But not the Kim Kardashian. Speaking of a house party, I did a house party with Patrick Keane in the house, two houses down from the Kardashians.
Is that right?
Yeah, they had a comedy show that they wanted. Always an error, you guys, unless you can set it up like they did, I guess, which is, and then you're like, it's still weird, hors d'oeuvres and then comedy. It's
I've
always
done a few
weird.
House shows. They're always weird.
There was some better, some worse,
yes.
but it's always a crapshoot. But, so he's with Kim Kardashian or one of the.
Kanye is, yes.
Yes. And then Jay-Z's with Beyonce. And, well, I'm glad everyone's found someone.
Yeah.
but they're both producers now, right? More than did Jay-Z just put out a new album?
He put out Magna Carta about a year and a half ago.
Right. Yeah. That's right, because it was gutsy as all fuck.
Yeah.
You were like, oh yeah, here you go. Magna Carta.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Nice work.
And that, honestly, I haven't listened to all the songs on that track. It's almost like I'm not a guy who will stop liking a person when they get famous, you know.
Right.
But at the same time, I just heard a few songs, and for the first time, it felt like Jay-Z wasn't, and it may be better than I'm giving it credit for, but it felt like he wasn't at the forefront. It felt
okay.
like he was sort of playing catch up.
Oh, maybe not fully present, or?
Well,
no.
Well, lyrically, I think, you know, it's interesting. You watch Comedy Central,
mm-hmm.
and shout out to them. You know, I've done stuff with them, but. You're watching shows where sometimes a network will dumb itself down to the point where they've painted themselves in a corner.
Right.
And now they can't even.
Right. How do they get
anything.
Out of the corner?
Yeah. And,
yeah.
and they're like, and then they'll complain like, you know, our viewership, they're too dumb. It's like, this is what you nurtured this, right?
Yes.
It's the Donald Trump effect in essence.
Right.
And I think,
you wanted a 13-year-old boy to watch your show.
Right.
So now he's watching it and he's not going to get any references ever. Not even 13-year-old references
right.
of the smart nerdy kids.
Right.
Yeah.
And you could have
done something else.
Could have done something else and still had him.
Right.
But you didn't. You sort
but
of
everybody
like,
has, I think, a bad album. Everybody.
Right, that's true. But also, I just think lyrically, he said he dumbed himself down. But I think where rap is now, for a guy like Jay-Z, it's good that he can still rhyme like the young kids. But since he's so much better than them. It's like it felt like he was rhyming like a guy named 2 Chainz. And 2 Chainz is good, but like it's
unnecessary.
Yeah, rappers these days they've learned they're kind of like moving toward it's almost like songwriting with the less words.
Okay.
Per song, per verse, per bars. So, and like when Jay-Z came up, there were guys rhyming really fast.
Yep.
And there were other guys going dun 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 dun, like, you know, I come to the party and you know, yeah, whatever, whatever.
Oh, now the guys, cadence. Yeah.
Now guys are like, I came here. You didn't see me. And it's like, and I'm like,
just sing that.
Yeah. Right.
Just sing a song. It'll be fine. A lot of country music now has like spoken word in the middle of it. That's kind of like rap.
Oh, right.
And it's kind of, it can be interesting. I enjoy a hilarious cowboy song as much as the next person because they're talking about the same things, you know, that.
Yes. Completely.
Right. And it's always, and I love those stories. You got a sad story about love gone wrong. I want to hear it, man.
I love the stories.
Yeah. And, but, like, what about, like, Eric B. and Rakim? That was slow, but it had more purpose to it. It felt like it had.
He talks about them too. Like, Eric B.'s voice, Rakim's voice just pierces the song, you know?
Yeah.
And he's considered the best MC, and that's really off of like two albums by some.
Right.
I think you got to give it to either Jay-Z or you got to go way back to Melly Mel. But Rakim is literally Rakim ushered in, and I'm not saying people didn't do it before him, but he single-handedly ushered in the new era of rap.
Right. It made it bigger.
But also, like, Rakim is like talking. He's still putting some affectation into his voice, but he's talking, right?
Yeah.
I came through the door. I said it before. I never let the mic magnetize me no more. I think he's magnetizing me. But it's fighting me to rhyme. I can't hold back. I'm looking for the line. And that like, Jay-Z kind of talks like that too, where if you're doing Jay-Z impression, you have to go like upper part of your throat. Like, you have to sort of be like, me and Dame, you know, we decided to do something. We wanted to have like, and it's almost like he's closing his throat.
Yeah, like a little nasally.
Nasally. But rap before that is very presentational. Well, I'm here to say that happy day. And it's like,
it's that deep voice of, I am a man and I will be telling you what it's like.
They were rhyming like radio disc jockeys.
Yeah.
Like the 50s.
Right. It's Wolfman Jack.
And
bring it.
And as great as that is, it's like the difference between that and a Marc Maron on a podcast where there's still just some presentation and some performing going on, but it feels more real, you know?
Yeah.
So
what would you recommend? Like if I were to go out, I should get Reasonable Doubt.
Yeah, I would say that. I would say that. But that's so New York centric that something.
But it's super clean too, right?
Yeah,
it's clean and original. If I were to buy two albums, what would be the second album?
The second Jay-Z album. And that's another thing about Jay-Z.
The second Jay-Z album?
Or just period, you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Just of all of Jay-Z's work, like what would...
Oh, yeah.
What would I thoroughly enjoy listening to today?
Well, the thing about it is that as a comic, I've always used him as the guy I aspire to be like, meaning really good and prolific.
Okay.
Those are the two things. And also, he's at a point where he's judged against his own material. So it doesn't matter if his Magna Carta could have been the best album that year.
Yeah.
But was it better than Reasonable Doubt, his other album, the Black Album, the Blueprint? Right. So it's kind of like that. So
that is a very real thing that I don't like that idea. Holy shit.
Yeah.
But
so
of course, why wouldn't it be?
If it's not better than your best album, it's somehow a letdown.
Oh, I don't do that.
Yeah.
Oh, I can see myself doing that though. Oh, note to self.
Right. So for Jay-Z, yeah, Reasonable Doubt. And then literally I would say flip a coin between the Blueprint and the Black Album. Because I wouldn't say those are my favorite, but they had the most commercial success.
Okay, so they're probably they'll probably sing along, toe tapping, something to dance to.
Or you could either flip a coin, or if you had some sort of you could draw straws and throw in the In My Lifetime Volume 2, because that had the Annie song on it, the Hard Knock Life.
Oh right,
it's the Hard Knock Life.
Oh right. Us. I have heard that. There you go. Yeah. Look at me, in my what's it called?
In My Lifetime Volume 2.
This is where it gets super dorky because you're like, just pick one. Allow me to give you four. And that's perfect for the dork for us, Wayne Perkins. Hey, everybody. It's been an hour, by the way, because And so it's at FunnyDP, like Dwayne Perkins. It's DwaynePerkins.com. His podcast is Movie Night with TK Kelly. And it's on iTunes and probably at Movie Night Cast on Twitter, but and all that. And you're probably doing stand-up. This will go end of October.
End of October. I'll be fresh back from Europe, hopefully.
Exciting.
I don't have to beat anyone up on a train or anything or save anyone.
That's crazy.
So end of October, I'm not sure, but check my website, DwaynePerkins.com.
That's it. Yes. And everybody, go see Dwayne Perkins do stand-up because it's funny in a row, one of my favorite ways for comedy to be. So thanks for being on the show, man.
Thank you.
And take care of each other out there. You know the rules.
My hat, they're dancing around my hat, well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?